Iben Tranholm is my special guest. She is our European correspondent live from Copenhagen, Denmark. One of the young ladies that works with me here, Iben, her husband's in the Air Force, and she just came back from Copenhagen.
Okay.
She said your city is beautiful. So
it is.
I will have to, if Mrs. Church and I get to take our European trip this summer, I will make sure that our paths cross yours. One of the things that you just said struck me. Two things I'd like to say. One, I'm inspired by your conversion and by your defense of the faith. It tells me, and it tells a lot of people listening to this radio show, and we're going to put this out on YouTube and on Facebook, and let other people listen to it, other Catholics listen to it, and those even considering conversion right now, they're in RCIA programs perhaps, let them hear that. Because what I heard you say was basically what it is that's at stake here and how we must move forward on this, and that is this: it doesn't matter what man says, all right? We know what the Holy Ghost has said and what man has written down. We know what the dogma is. We know what the teaching is. We know what the canon law says. We know. And if we don't know, then that's on us and it's our fault. We know what we're supposed to do. Here's where the faith really comes in and where I agree with my friend David Simpson that the church militant is going to shrink before she expands again. And when she expands again, that expansion will be glorious. And that is this: the doctrine and the dogma is what is going to always save us. It's what's going to prevail against the gates of hell. But if we don't have people like you, Ms. Tranholm, that are willing to say that publicly, then that task, we would all be right to think that this is going to fail. This is horrible. We're in a situation that no Catholic has ever found themselves in. I don't think we are, because I think at the time of Athanasius, for example, that the world was saying, you know what, this guy's got or the Arian heresy, this Arian guy's got a point, and it's a good point. And of course, one man, St. Athanasius said, no, he doesn't have a point. He's wrong. And even the Pope for a while was kind of going like, you know, this Arian dude might be right. But of course, it worked itself out. When you talk about these things, when someone like me ask you this question, do you consider that? Do you consider that maybe I'm actually, you know, doing something? I converted so God could use you as some pushback against what you just described as going wrong.
I certainly hope so, but I think
good
listening
answer
to what you said, I think we have to be—you really have to remind ourselves that the church itself is holy because it's the body of Christ, and even though they're trying to mutilate the body of Christ right now, they won't succeed because they're not based on the truth, what they're trying to establish. And I think right now we see there is a war on the truth everywhere. And we have to really keep in mind that Christ said, I am the truth. And truth will always prevail and truth will set us free. So right now, I think it's important that Christians make a decision and are very determined to fight evil, and not really to just defend some kind of political parties or political organizations, but to take part in the struggle against evil itself. I think this is the main task of Christians,
right?
Like Christ defeated evil. So, but I mean, we're very afraid of telling the truth, and we are sort of, I think a lot of Christians are very fearful, but we really need to stress that we have to speak the truth, and we have to understand that you can't find the truth in the left or in the right or with the Democrats or the Republicans. I mean, you can only find the truth in the church, and that's why it is so horrible that this confusion has now penetrated the church, because this is where you have to find the truth. So I think you're right. There will be a remnant. There will be, you know, some Christians that are true to tradition, and they will have to fight. Maybe we're not going to be larger numbers, But, I mean, if we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit with us, and we fight for truth, we will prevail. I mean, it has always been like that. Christ was also defeated in the eyes of the world as
That's
he
right.
was crucified.
That's right.
But he resurrected. And I think we will have to go the same way. We will have to, you know, to take up our cross like that, because otherwise there is no truth without the cross.
Well, if there were to be women priests, I would nominate you to take the to take the
habit. But you know, I think it's very important to stress that many of the big I would say reformers or very important voices in the church history were women, like St. Catherine of Siena,
right?
Birgitta of Vadstena, which was a Swedish saint, and also Hildegard from Bingen. They were very, very powerful women, and they were even, you know, speaking against the Pope. But they were never priests. They just had a different role. They were all mystics, and I think that's very important to stress that without those women, the church would not have been what it is today. So women have a very important role in the church.
Yeah, I have a devotion to Blessed Catherine, Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. And her visions. As a matter of fact, even at Christmas time this past year, I used her visions of the Nativity of Christ, of the Annunciation, of the Visitor. I mean, she basically had mystic visions on the entire Rosary of the joyful mysteries of the Rosary, and I used them to make a little movie. I asked my priest about it and if I was in error, and he said, "Well, you know, Mike, even if you say that there's no way to prove that that's the way it happened, it certainly is not heretical. She never contradicts any doctrine, and it just adds a narrative as if you're reading a novel to what the Gospels say." And so, you know, I took that and I went, you know, that's a good way to look at it. There's another example of a woman. I have a friend here in my little parish in Abita Springs that has a serious devotion to Saint Bridget.
Yeah.
So there are women of the church. All right. Well, one more thing before we part company again. I sent you another story here about the fake news that is coming out of Syria. The media coverage on Syria is the biggest media lie of our time. Interview with a Flemish priest in Syria. I talked a little bit about this yesterday with my friend Jordan Bloom. Father Daniel Mays lives in Syria in the 6th century old Mar Yaqub Monastery in the city of Qara, 90 kilometers north of the capital of Damascus. He was asked a question about this, and you say, the interviewer asked him this question, you say that the Syrian army protects civilians, yet there are all sorts of reports about war crimes committed by Assad's forces, such as the bombardments with barrel bombs. Father Daniel, quote, "Do you not know that the media coverage on Syria is the biggest media lie of our time? They have sold pure nonsense about Assad. It was actually the rebels who plundered and killed. Do you think that the Syrian people are stupid? Do you think those people were forced to cheer for Assad and Putin? It is the Americans who have a hand in all of this, for pipelines and natural resources in this region and to thwart Putin."